إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، نواصل إن شاء الله تعالى هذه الكلمة. We continue إن شاء الله تعالى, and this is part four by the way, in bringing the means that are legislated to us in Islam that will bring the Muslims together in a unity that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a unity that is that Allah is pleased with. And we began and we take on the fourth principle here, this fourth principle that will bring unity. Before that, inshaAllah ta'ala, نذكر بالأسباب الثلاثة الماضية. السبب الأول هو التوحيد. لن يجتمع المسلمون إلا إذا اجتمعوا على التوحيد. الاجتماع النافع الذي يحقق المصالح إلا بالتوحيد. That first of all, that the Muslim, they will never be one body, one ummah. And so therefore they will never be unified, the unity that will bring benefits, except if they all of them are unified upon Tawheed. That's how they should start. Tawheed first. والتوحيد هو دعوة الأنبياء والرسل كلهم. Tawheed, it is the call of all prophets and messengers. There is not a single messenger or a prophet except that the first thing he called his people to is Tawheed. قال تعالى وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ سورة النحل آية 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, we have sent amongst every nation a messenger saying to his people, worship Allah alone and avoid Taghut. Taghut is everything that is being worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With some slight explanation, this is not a time for that. This is Tawheed. يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. هذه كلمة قالها عدد من الأنبياء الرسل لأقوامهم شعيب, صالح, هود, نوح. And there is a number of a prophet and a messenger from amongst them, نوح, شعيب, صالح, هود. They say to their people, يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. O people, worship Allah alone. You have no other true God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first principle. If the Muslims want to be united, as we all, wallahi al-azim, we all love to see all the Muslims. How many now? Like 1.5 billion? Maybe close, right? We would love to see them all on the heart of one man, like the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim, they used to be. But this is not going to just happen like this. That which unifies the Sahaba, that's what's going to unify us. If you follow their ways, and that which they follow. So therefore, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be unified. And especially that Allah has preserved His deen for us. Has preserved, the Quran is preserved, and the Sunnah is preserved, and the statements and the actions of the Sahaba are well preserved for us. It's just all what it takes from me and you to have sincerity first, ikhlas, lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas. And to be determined and to be focused. To try to make some change. Start by yourself. And I start by myself. You start in your home. And I start in my home. You start with your family members. And I start with my family members. And this is actually, this is the da'wah of al-anbiya. This is the methodology of the prophets. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your close family members to you. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to give the da'wah and to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't go to another country. He didn't go to another tribe. He stayed with his tribe, Quraysh. And even though he stayed with his immediate family, call them first. Therefore you see the mistakes of some people who they claim to be calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their countries are in dalalat, in sufiyya, in shirk. Not just the country, their tribes, their families, some of them their wives and their children, and they want to go to some other country, to some other state, to other place to call people to Islam, to Sunnah. Call yourself first. You learn, benefit. Can you think if someone has a medicine, and looking for people that are sick, he wants to give it to them, and he himself is very sick. His family members are sick. His tribe are sick. They have the same disease. But he thinks he has the cure, and he's going to another state to give it to other people, looking for some people that may be sick. You benefit from it yourself. Take some pills. Take a couple doses for you. Give it to the people next to you. Same thing, the sunnah. That medicine is the kitab, is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need it every time. That's the real immunization. These are the shots that we should have all time. Because the sunnah is an immunization against bid'ah and innovation. You got to be immune. You have to check yourself, check your record. Do you have all your shots? Now we worry about my kids got the shots, they got... What your kids, they got the shots to be immune against bid'ah, against shirk, against hypocrisy, nifaq, against this and that? Teach them more sunnah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Al-aslu thani, wa huwa luzumu al-sunnah. The second principle was holding firm to the sunnah when abdul bidah and forsaking innovation. Now the tawheed is a mass. This is the principle. If you want to gather the Muslims, then to add to this, that the Muslims now they have the tawheed, but they have to abide with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they should leave off innovations into the deen, which means that there is no room for intellects and opinions in this deen of Islam. This deen of Islam is complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Alaysa kadhalik. This day I have completed this religion. Something that is complete. Can someone add something to it? You make an order, you order a pizza. Whatever. Let's make it plain pizza. Usually pizza they carry it on 8 pieces, right? Okay, you open the box and then it's 8 pieces. Can you argue? Can you claim that the pizza is missing a slice? No one want to hear that because it's complete. But if you open it and find 6 slices and you know there is a spot for 1 or 2, then you can say something. This Islam is complete. There is no room for someone to come and add some rak'ah here or some dua here or some supplication here, or come up with another way to give the da'wah, or another way to do things. It's everything was finalized. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. So for those who don't know, they should learn. They should not just, if they don't know, they get together and agree. Some people, the Muslims, they may even go to voting. They said, we're going to do it this way. Somebody said to them, "Is this is what is pleasing to Allah?" They said, "Yeah, of course, we're Muslims. We just want to do what is good. Alhamdulillah." But Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Kam min muridi lil khayri lam yablughu." How many people they have good intentions? It's good to have a good intention. But how many people have good intention, but they don't have what it takes, the skills and the knowledge to do the right job? Okay, you have a problem in your house. You have no electricity. And it's freezing outside. A brother from the community heard that and he said, hey, I fixed it. A couple of wires grown together. He has good intention. He has concern for you, for your children. But the first thing, you gotta allow him in the house just like that? Take him to the basement to connect wires? What is the first thing you ask him? Yeah, assalamu alaikum now. That's good. Alhamdulillah, barakallahu fi. See, we're talking about the sunnah. Allah is exalted. Say the sunnah. Naam, assalamu alaikum. If he's Muslim, naam, say assalamu alaikum. Naam? What is the next question? How you doing? Right? I know that one's coming. Okay, that one too. How you doing? What's going on? Yeah, that one too. That's what you're going to say?
Are you qualified?
Are you qualified? Are you electrician? Do you know, this is your business, this is your job, do you practice? That's what I'm talking about. If you said, never have, but me and you, man, we can handle it. Then, yeah, listen, me and you, we can get a cup of coffee, right? And we wait for someone who knows what he's doing. Otherwise, man, they're going to burn everything. They may burn everything. Alhamdulillah. See the sunnah, Allahu Akbar. Sunnah is nice, akhi. Sunnah is easy, akhwan. I just remember now, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was in a meeting. He was in a gathering. And this practice is known and common among the Arabs, more than anybody else. I know. At least I know about the Arabs. It's common. I don't know if it's common about others, Allahu A'lam, but about the Arabs, they be sitting in a, they say in a walima or something, and then whenever somebody comes, they all stand up. Assalamu alaikum, salam alaikum, salam alaikum. Then they sit. Then they say, oh, someone told him, they get up. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was there, because from the sunnah, you do not stand up. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibit the companions to stand up for him. Even though the fiqh of this is that the person, the host of the house, he can stand up and meet the guests. But the other people, they should not stand up. They sit down and say salam alaikum and sit in an opening. No, salam alaikum. They stood up. Everybody. As soon as they sit, fulan come. They all stand up. So people up and down. They were tired. After they ate, they said, Sheikh al-Albani, Sheikh, it was a little reminder. And the Sheikh Hakim, he saw a practice right in front of his eyes. He wants to address it. And he told them that, hey, Juan, the sunnah is this and this. So one of the laymen, he says, you should say that at the beginning, man. Sunnah is so easy. Look, now we're sitting. So it's very important, ya akhwan, to abide by the sunnah, but in the same way, to stay away from bid'ah. Bid'ah is very dangerous. How dangerous indeed, because it is more beloved, just one hint, it is more beloved to shaitan than sins. Sins are evil, sins. Sins, dhunub, ma'asi, they evil. But bid'ah, innovation, is more beloved to shaitan than sin. Why? Somebody know, لماذا?
Because you'll not make tawbah from it.
Me?
Not you.
You said you. I don't know. You know something about me? I don't know. You address me. Remember we said the believer is a mirror of belief? It's a bid'ah, yeah. That's a bid'ah. I didn't have it before. طيب. Now, لأن المعصية يتاب منها والبدعة لا يتاب منها. Why the bid'ah innovation is more beloved to the shaitan than sin? Because the sinner, when he sins, he knows he's doing wrong. He knows he don't supposed to touch that. He knows he ain't supposed to drive miles to do it. He knows he ain't supposed to look that way or touch something or do something. That's why even he does it, because of a weakness, a moment of weakness, but then what? Sooner or later he said, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. طيب.
نذكر النساء نقولهم نذكرهم انت ولا
نذكرهم مش نقول لهم ايه؟
السلام عليكم. النساء اللي عندهم الاطفال please take the kids and go downstairs or send them to the babysitting. We have a babysitting house. Please take them there. Or if you don't want to take them, go downstairs and leave the other sisters so that they are able to listen to the lecture. جزاكم الله خير.
طيب. So the sinner we're saying, when he sins, he knows that he's not doing something right. But just because of the desires, a moment of weakness. And then as soon as he finished from the sin, he feels terrible. He feels bad. He has the grief. And he wished he never done it. And therefore he cried sometimes and asked Allah for forgiveness. But the innovator, he thinks he's right. Somebody who thinks he's right, how could it possible he would cross his mind to ask forgiveness? Do you ask Allah to forgive you and cry because you just pray Maghrib? Do you? Do you just pray Maghrib and ask Allah to forgive you for praying Maghrib? Why? Because you pray Maghrib, you're doing the right thing. Now you ask Allah to forgive you during the Salat, after the Salat if you want, but you do not go in one corner and cry and feel like you did something bad after praying Maghrib. That's why the innovation is so, so dangerous. The third principle we mentioned is that, of course, we have to follow the Quran and follow the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but with whose understanding? Huh? With the understanding of a Salaf al-Salih. And who are the Salaf al-Salih? They are the community of Masjid al-Tawheed in Detroit. Right? No? You guys want to start problems, man. Are there some people in Philadelphia, some people in New Jersey, some people in Saudi, some people there as the Salaf al-Salih? That's why. Why I'm saying this? Because yes, there is a misconception. There's a lot of people who claim to be upon this minhaj, Salaf. They're far away from it. They don't know nothing but the name. There's a lot of people who claim to be upon the minhaj of a Salaf by affiliation. Just because they are affiliated to a masjid, the course of this minhaj of a Salaf, they think that's enough for them. But they never benefited from it. We have to benefit from it. The minhaj of a Salaf is the minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Do you know of any Muslim on earth? It doesn't matter if he smokes, if he drinks, if he is negligent. If he prays sometimes, don't pray other times. And he curses, he's doing a lot of that. Can you go and approach that person and say to him, you think it's okay for you not to follow the Prophet and his companions? What he's going to say to you? He's going to say to you, what are you talking about? If I don't follow the Prophet and his companions, who am I supposed to be following? Okay, so yes, you're following the minhaj of the Salaf al-Salih then. But just some of us who, alhamdulillah, Allah guide us to follow this minhaj, we are, unfortunately, some of us are given a bad representation for it. So therefore we leave a bad taste for others who they don't know about it. So it's very important for us not just to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, we have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. It's not a choice. But we do not just use our minds and our intellect into trying to understand and just like that. Naam, yes, you can take a hadith and try to use your mind and intellect to try to reflect upon the hadith. But if Allah did not teach you enough knowledge and basics to deduct benefits and ruling, leave that to the people who are specialized, like the electrician we mentioned the example. When you get sick, who you go to? When you're really sick. Very good. Okay? You go to the doctor. Anyone, when your kids, they get sick, you don't take them to the mechanic, do you?
a mechanic, he knows stuff. Do you take him to carpenter? You take them where? Hospital. And even when you take them to the hospital, there are many people that work in the hospital, right? Maintenance guys, security, police officers. Not everyone who work in the hospital, you allow them to check your child. No. Even nurses. Nurses, they just check your child because this is an order from who? From doctor. Who prescribed the medicine? The doctor. And when the doctor prescribed 2 milligrams a day, can you add more to it? Can you? Can somebody come to you and say, you may come to the masjid, and your kid is still sneezing and coughing and still in pain, and somebody may say to you, you're taking the doctor? Yeah. What are you giving? This and this. How many milligrams? 2. Come on, man. If you go home, make it 20. 2 milligrams ain't nothing. No, you are not. First, if you're wise, you ask that person, say, are you a doctor? He said, no. So, be quiet. Don't talk. If you're a doctor, you can't talk. If you're not a doctor, leave it. But this is our problem. Many of us are doctors, they just don't know. They never study nowhere. But when somebody's talking about medicine, they got something to say. When other people are talking about cars, no, he's a mechanic. People talking about the roof? No, he's a certified roofer or something like that. Because he wants to talk. So, we have to turn it to the people of knowledge. And they are the companions in the first place. And so therefore, the fourth principle that we're going to start with is السبب الرابع. الآن نعتذر للأخوات, احنا الآن إن شاء الله سنشرع بالعربية إن شاء الله, الله يبارك فيك. طيب, السبب الرابع من الأسباب المشروعة للاجتماع المشروع سلوك طريقة السلف من الصحابة والتابعين والأئمة عند حصول الاختلاف. فهذا إن شاء الله المتعلق بالعلماء بعد هذا إن شاء الله. كان خطأ مني. Now inshallah ta'ala, the fourth principle is from those principles that will bring unity among the Muslims. But not any kind of type of unity, the unity that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unity that Allah is pleased for all of us. And we have to be pleased for ourselves that which Allah is pleased for us. That principle is that in a time of differences, when the Muslims differ, and you get to differ, we're human beings, we have to differ. So now we have a difference. I say something, you say something else. This alim said one thing, another alim from another country, from another place, said something else. Now, what is the criterion? Who to follow? This alim or this alim? Let's say an alim from Pakistan. I'm just giving an example. I don't want you to now use your imagination. Stay here in Detroit. Now an alim from Pakistan and an alim from, you choose for me. Okay, from Egypt. Okay, yalla, from Egypt. يعني إذا اختلف عالمان, عالم من الباكستان وعالم من مصر مثلا, من نؤيد؟ الله يبارك فيك. هذا اسم عالم آخر هذا, ها؟ الله يبارك فيك. Now who would choose? A scholar from Pakistan said something, another scholar from Egypt said something else. Who will be with? Allah Akbar. What they say? Allah. What they, you know what they say? You're right there. I don't know.
I think the 22 shaykh will bring more fruit.
Say, the answer to this question is in here. Now we're going to mention it, inshallah. طيب but that's some of it. Talking about that. لكن قبل ذلك هل المصريون بصفة خاصة والعرب يعني يؤيدون المصري لأنه مصري أو الباكستانيون والبنغلاديش ها يؤيدون العالم الباكستاني لأنه من جهتهم هذا هو is it the Egyptians and the Arabs with them they just go with the Egyptian scholar because he is Egyptian and Arab and then the Pakistanis and Bangladeshis and them in the area Afghanistan and the like they go with the Pakistani scholar just because he's from Pakistan and the Turkish they support the Turkish scholars and African Americans support the African American imam or Dari because there's no scholars in the world bro. And I don't know if any scholars in the world okay thank you الإجابة فإن الاختلاف قد وقع في الأمة بعد موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مباشرة. The first point we have to remember is that difference has occurred in this Ummah of the of Muslims right after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Right after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they differ. فاختلف الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم في موته. The Sahaba, the companions. They differ as related to the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. بعد الصحابة قالوا لا ما مات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومنهم عمر رضي الله عنه. Some of the companions said, hey, we don't want to hear this. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't die. عمر is one of them. وبعضهم يقول لا مات. أبو بكر على رأسهم أبو بكر رضي الله عنه قال مات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came and said, hey, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم dead. هذا اختلاف ولا مش اختلاف؟ It's اختلاف. It's difference. واختلفوا في من يخلفه. اختلفوا في مكان دفنه. Now, alhamdulillah, Abu Bakr came and reminded them of the ayat in the Quran that Allah said to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون. Indeed, you are to die, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they will die as well. Now they can then, yes, Prophet ﷺ died. Because he was, the impact was very heavy on them. After that, now there is another problem that they face. اختلفوا في مكان دفنه. They disagree among themselves, the Sahaba, where to bury the Prophet ﷺ, where? That's اختلاف. واختلفوا في من يخلفه. ثم بعد ذلك اختلفوا في من يخلفه من الخليفة من يكون من الأنصار من المهاجرين من يكون and after that when they buried the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم soon like after that they disagree and they differ amongst them they differ amongst them as related to who's gonna be in charge one from the مهاجرين one from the أنصار who's gonna be in charge ووقع خلاف في مسائل كثيرة بين الصحابة ومن بعدهم أيضا من الأئمة من التابعين ومن تبعهم likewise different occurs in many issues among the companions themselves they differ in different issues amongst them and also those who came them the best generations the تابعين and those who came after them they differ them themselves as pertaining to certain issues لكنهم أيها الإخوة الفضلاء تعاملوا مع الخلاف تعاملا رشيدا ضيق أمره ولم يؤثر في الاجتماع والائتلاف ولم ينتج شرا ولا فرقة الله أكبر But the companions even though they differ among themselves the way they dealt with those differences in a wise way in the best way that shrinks the differences make it to be shrink and so therefore that difference that they have did not blemish their unity and their harmony and so therefore even though they have some issues of ikhtilaf and differences among themselves it never bring about any evil and any division yes They have certain differences, but didn't bring no evil between them. They didn't bring no division, didn't split their ranks.
فكان العلماء من الصحابة والتابعين والأئمة إذا تنازعوا في الأمر اتبعوا أمر الله في قوله سبحانه في سورة النساء: فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. ما كانوا يرجعونه لمجلس الشورى للمسجد أو تعالى نعمل عملية تصويت ونشوف من الفائز، لا، the علماء first of all among the companions and theirs and the tabi'een, those best generations, and the a'imma, the high a'imma, the scholars of this deen, when they used to differ, they human beings, they differ, when they used to differ among themselves, what they follow. Here is the answer now. They don't say, I'm with Shafi'i, that's it, I'm Shafi'i, whatever Shafi'i said, I don't care what Ahmed said, Malik Abu Hanifa, that's for you, you're Hanafi, follow Abu Hanifa, not me. And the Hanafi follow Abu Hanifa, and the Maliki follow Malik. Actually, the Juhal, the ignorant amongst the Muslims, who they say, I'm a Hanifa, and that's it, they're not even following Abu Hanifa's madhab. Those who they say, I'm a Maliki, and that's it. I don't want to hear no Ahmed, no Hanbali, no Shafi'i, nothing. Actually, they're not even following the Imam Malik in that. I will, for the lack of the time, I will refer you to Sifat Salat al-Nabi al-Albani. اقرأوا المقدمة، مقدمة صفة صلاة النبي الألباني رحمه الله تعالى، حيث أتى بكلام هؤلاء الأئمة الأربعة وكيف أنهم يدعون إلى لزوم السنة ويتبرؤون من التقليد الأعمى ويذمونه. Read in this introduction the beginning of the book, the Prophet's prayer described of Imam al-Albani, how he brought the statement of these four imams, and how they all of them call to the Sunnah and to forsake the innovations, and they should not blindly follow anyone, rather they have to stick with the Dalil, with the proof, with the Sunnah. So this is what exactly the Sahaba and these noble scholars they have done, and that's what we all should do, because we follow in their example and their footsteps. They follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is manifested in the verse 59 of Surah An-Nisa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when you differ among yourselves pertaining to any matter, then turn it back to Allah, to the book of Allah, and to the messenger of Allah, to the sunnah. In his lifetime, the companions had to go back to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his death, we're not supposed to go to his grave, as the sufis do. No, we turn it to his sunnah that is preserved for us. Allah put a condition here. Said, if you really believe in Allah and the last day, can someone tell you he's a Muslim, don't believe in Allah? Can anyone in his right mind, he's a Muslim and he doesn't believe in the last day? That take him out of the fold of Islam. But still, instead, to turn it back to Allah and to the Messenger, many Muslims, they don't turn it to Allah and the Messenger. They turn it to some men. Some people, they don't even turn it to the ulama. They turn it to themselves. The Majlis Shura. They call the Shura, hold on, we get you an answer. Give us a couple of days. They call the Shura who usually they far away from the Sunnah wal-Iyadu Billah in the dunya. How many imams? Come in masjid, wa come in markaz Islami fi America. Yashku, هذه الظاهرة العجيبة. المسؤولين والقائمين على هذه المراكز حتى لا يصلون في المسجد نفسه الذين هم مسؤولون عليه يأتون يوم الجمعة ويأتون متأخرين ويأتون يوم الأحد وهذا الذي تراهم لا يطبقون السنة ولا يفقهون في الدين وهم المتصدرون الله المستعان. وإذا حصلت نازلة أو شيء يجتمعون والذين قرروهم هذا هو الصحيح عندهم ألا فليتق الله هؤلاء في أنفسهم وليتذكروا الموت وليتذكروا الحساب وليتق الله الذين وضعوهم في ذلك الموضع وانتخبوهم ويساعدوهم بالمال ويساعدوهم بالأمور اتقوا الله في أنفسكم كذلك. How many are the masajid? The masajid, Islamic centers Islamic schools, that they are run by people who actually, they're not the right people to be in charge of these Islamic schools and Islamic centers and masjids. He is the mudir, he is the secretary, he is this, he is that. But you see them only on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, only on Friday and on Sunday. Actually, many of masajid, they open only on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And if, inshallah, they may open on Maghrib and Isha. You come for Fajr is lax. You come for Dhuhr, lax. Asr is lax likewise. And then when they want to make decisions, they get together and whatever they decide and they agree upon, that's what they said, this is okay. This is the da'wah. That's why the da'wah is so suffering in America. Because of the life of these people. So I'm saying to them, a friendly advice, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're in charge of the affairs of Muslims and the affair of da'wah. If you're not qualified, you may be qualified in medicine. You may have a PhD in medicine, PhD in or engineering in computers, or in electricity. Or you may have a lot of money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give whom He will. But, alhamdulillah, ain't nothing wrong with being a doctor. Ain't nothing wrong having an engineering degree. Ain't nothing wrong with having money and property. But, do you have what it takes to make good decisions for the Muslims and for Islam? If you don't, if you have, alhamdulillah, actually that's an advantage. That you are a doctor, and that you are this, and you are that. Alhamdulillah. We need doctors in our communities. We need teachers. And we need people that have money and wealth and investment. We do need that. But if you don't have the ilm, the knowledge of shari, leave somebody else. Assume that responsibility. Fear Allah and remember the last day. Remember death. Remember you're standing in front of your Lord. And also, and the problem is that those people, they are in those positions only because the layman people, they vote for them. The layman people put them in there by supporting them and by putting their wealth and the light. I say to those people too, fear Allah, wake up from that dream. This Islam comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Islam, the correct Islam, its origin is the book and the sunnah. If somebody comes from the book of the sunnah, we should support them. It doesn't matter who they may be. But if they don't have what it takes to keep the da'wah rolling, they should sit down and learn. They should sit down and humble themselves. Learn something that will benefit them in their grave. That will benefit them in Yawm al-Qiyamah. The money ain't gonna benefit them. طيب. وقد كان الأمر خير والحمد لله وما زالت الصحابة أيها الإخوة الفضلاء يختلفون في مسائل الفروع وهم مع ذلك متآلفون. And because the الصحابة and the التابعون and the أئمة, whenever they differ among themselves, the first thing they do, they turn it to the book of Allah and to the Sunnah. Whoever has the دليل and has the right thing, they with him. They don't say, okay, well now I don't look at it the way you look at it. Some people, you bring them the hadith and the Quran and the statement of the Sahaba. I said, yeah, but you know what? We in our masjid, we don't look at it that way. Which way? Which way? Is there any other way? The path is one. The path to Jannah, how many paths? وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. There is only one path, Ya Abdullah. Don't let nobody deceive you. الطَّرِيقُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَاحِدٌ. ليس هناك طريقان ولا ثلاثة ولا خمسة ولا عشرة. لا يضحك عليك. There is only one path to the Jannah. One path to success. That path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid for us. And the Sahaba, they continue to differ. Not all of them. And I don't want to understand that I'm saying the Sahaba different. This is the statement of Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, by the way, to remind you. The Sahaba, they differ in certain issues, the furu', not in the i'tiqad. They differ in issues of belief and aqidah and creed and principles. No, they did, but in certain branches of the deen. But with that, they stayed together and brothers. They differ, but they still love one another. They still smile, they still go together and come together and sit together and eat together. You find some of us these days, we differ among something, and that's it, we become enemies. We don't talk to them for months. And why? If we're different, simply because you want the truth. You're seeking the haqq and I'm seeking the haqq. Whoever the haqq is with him, I have to be happy. Alhamdulillah, I'm learning something. لكنها حضور النفس حضور النفس كل يريد أن ينتصر ويكون الفائز. But it's because the nafs, everybody wants to be the winner, everybody wants to be his opinion to be chosen, even if it's bad and evil, it doesn't matter, he just wants to be up there. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى وقد اتفق الصحابة في مسائل تنازعوا فيها على يعني اتفقوا يعني هذه المسائل التي تنازعوا فيها اتفقوا على إقرار كل فريق الآخر يعني كل فريق يقر الآخر على العمل باجتهاده. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى said that in a time of differences of opinions when it occurs among the Sahaba they have disagreements. This agreement, not disagreement. This agreement, meaning they agree among themselves that they should recognize the ijtihad of everyone. Remember, in issues that different is permissible. They're not going to differ as related to, if somebody differ as related to what is Allah. And you said, oh, it's okay, it's their opinion. No, you know, such thing is opinion. Or they may differ if the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has completed his deen. And somebody say, no, something else, the Prophet still come to give some wahi to other people. No, then we can't have no difference in these issues of belief. لا نختلف. لا اختلاف في أمور الاعتقاد. إذا كان الاختلاف سائغا فالعلماء كانوا يحترمون الاجتهادات. In a terms and a times and a field where different is permissible and allowed, so therefore the ulama and the sahaba themselves they used to respect the opinions of one another until they convince one another. كما سائر في العبادات والمناكح والمواريث وغير ذلك. Sheikh Islam Al-Sini said they differ in certain issues related to ibadat, certain issues for Hajj, for example. They don't differ as related to the pillars of Hajj, but some things that are related to the Hajj, they may differ how they are done. Or they may differ as related to certain things in marriage, as related to marriage and divorce. They may differ as related to inheritance, the laws and the signs of inheritance and the like. And that was the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in Tahaa Kalamah. يقول الشيخ سليمان الرحيلي نعم أيها الإخوة الفضلاء وعلى هذا المنهج صار الأئمة المعتبرون يختلفون فيما يسوغ فيه الاختلاف لكنهم لا يفترقون ويثني بعضهم على بعض. Yes, and on this blessed path that the companions they were upon, the generation that came after them, التابعون, they follow them on that path. They used to differ. Don't believe anyone that tell you that the Tabi'in they didn't differ, or that Imam Malik never differed with Shafi'i, or Abu Hanifa never differed with Imam Malik and the like. No, they differ. But with this difference, they differ only in the things where it is allowed to differ. There are certain things of the deen that there is no difference of opinion. They clear. No one has the right to come up with another opinion, not even a half opinion. But yet there is some other majalat, some other fields in the deen, some point in the deen, yes, where it is allowed for the ulama to have some difference. That's another topic indeed that may take a lot of time to try to get in it. And I'm not even qualified to do that anyway. So, alhamdulillah, it's good for me and you. But with all this difference, they do not divide. You don't find this alim says, okay, you take your tribe, I take mine. Take your people that believe in you, I take less. That's the way of the Mubtadi'ah, the Mu'tazila. They were called Mu'tazila because the one who founded this evil, wicked sect, I'tazal. When he differed with Al-Hasan Al-Basri, Imam Ahl-Sunnah, in an issue that is well known, اختلف مع أبي مع الحسن البصري قال اختلف اعتزل مجلسنا فاعتزل واتبعه ناس فسموا المعتزلة. So this man, when he differed in a point of عقيدة with the منهج of أهل السنة والجماعة, الحسن البصري said to him, separate yourself, we don't want that foolishness. Separate yourself. You're not upon the minhaj of Al-Sunnah. So he did so, and a group of people followed him on that battle, on that falsehood. So they were called Mu'tazila. Those that separate themselves from the truth, fal'iyadu billah. But the Sahaba, the Ulama, the Tabi'un, they differ when it's allowed for them to differ, but they stay together. They preserve their unity. And even though they differ in many opinions, those who are different, they still praise one another and speak good about one another. إليكم بعض الأدلة. فكان الإمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى يقول عن أبي حنيفة رحمه الله ذاك رجل لو أراد أن يقلب السارية ذهبا لفعل. قال وذلك من قوة حجته. مع أن الإمام مالك كما تعلمون أيها الإخوة يخالف أبا حنيفة رحمه الله عز وجل في مسائل كثيرة جدا. Here's an example. إمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى saying about أبو حنيفة. He said that أبو حنيفة, he was a man. If he wants to turn the pillars of the masjid in gold, he could do so. But he was just using that, he said, because of his strong arguments. Abu Hanifa has a strong hujjah, strong argument. He can establish the proof on people. Just like that. Even though Imam Malik has differed with Abu Hanifa in many issues. Many issues. And keep in mind, that's not the time nor is the place for to talk about the differences that took place between Imam Malik and Imam Hanifa. We know ourselves. We don't know what happened, what took place between them. Maybe another time, inshallah ta'ala, somebody else may deal with it. Somebody more qualified than myself. And hopefully I'll be sitting so I can learn. وَكَانَ الشَّافِعِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْعُلَمَاءُ فَمَالِكٌ نَجْمٌ مع اختلافهما رحمهما الله في مسائل كثيرة. Imam الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى, he be in a gathering with the ulama, and when Imam Malik name mentioned, he said, subhanAllah, you're talking about the star. The star, MVP, like in a Brick City thought, like kind of type style of MVP or something. When Imam Malik's name is mentioned, a Shafi'i, he will say to them, oh, you're talking about the star, he's a star. Even though Shafi'i and Imam Malik, they differ in many points. وكان الشافعي رحمه الله وكان الإمام الشافعي والإمام رحمهم الله يختلفان بل ويتناظران. ومع ذلك كان الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى يقول إذا أردت العلم فالزم هذا, ويشير للإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى. إمام الشافعي another example. الشافعي and إمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى, they used to differ. And sometimes they even get into it, like we say. They say, read your face to face and get into it. This one talk and the other talk, but in the end of the day, they're brothers. And yet, with all this difference, and then yet, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say to the people, if you want knowledge, stick to this one, Shafi'i.
He didn't say how sick to me because he don't know nothing. I debate with him. I checked him in one point that he don't know nothing. So you gotta be with me. No, he said to them, you want knowledge? You really want some real knowledge? Huh? Stick to this person right here. And he points to the chef here. Even though he differed with him in issues.
وكان الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى يثني على الإمام أحمد. Likewise, Imam الشافعي used to praise Imam Ahmad in many places. حتى أن له أبيات في ذلك مشهورة. Imam الشافعي has compiled lines of poetry, famous, praising who? The man who used to differ with Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى. منها قوله قالوا يزورك أحمد وتزوره قلت يعني الشافعي قلت الفضائل لا تفارق منزله إن زارني فبفضله أو زرته فلفضله لاحظ الفضل إن زارني فبفضله وإن زرته فلفضله فالفضل في الحالين له
الله أكبر
لك التواضع هذا تواضع الناس لا يبغون إلا وجه الله يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار الله أكبر Listen to this beautiful statement of these people who they seek the face of Allah they seek in the pleasure of Allah they don't want to seek any praise or any fame they know they are afraid of a day when the hearts will be turned and the face will change يوم القيامة Here is Imam al-Shafi'i saying about Imam Ahmad, this line of the poetry. He said, they said to me, Imam Ahmad visits you and you visit him. I said to them, yes, the good things never leave his house. That Shafi'i is saying about Ahmad. He said, yes indeed, that's true. And I'm going to give you a bonus. Good never left his house. Meaning Imam Ahmad's house. And then he said to them, when he visited me. Shafi'i is talking now about Imam Ahmad. He said, when he visited me, just because of his virtue, being nice and kind. And when I visit him, because of his virtue, because of his makana, his position. So in both halat, in both situations, he said, all the virtue is for him. He has more virtue on me. SubhanAllah. It's difficult to translate poetry from Arabic to English, but hey, you learn Arabic and you taste something that you will never taste it in Starbucks. Dang. You get a frap, or you get a something, I don't know, that's all I know from Starbucks. I know frappuccino, that's all. What else? Cappuccino? Oh, you don't know frappuccino? Ah, so I'm teaching you something. No, there is frappuccino. No, there is cappuccino and there is a frap too. Am I right? Huh? Alright, see? I don't know. Well, you're from here? Latte, right? What else? Okay, mashallah, alhamdulillah. I'm going to start asking him about the Sahaba names and the children too. Tayyib.
Wallahi, akhi, you learn Arabic and you read the poetry? But before the poetry, you read the Quran. And you read the ahadith and the sweetness that will settle in your ear and settle in your heart. When you take that, remember when you take that sip from that cafe or whatever, especially if you're hooked to Starbucks, and at the first sip and you go, change your emotions, change your expressions, change your mood, your attitude, your altitude, everything. You be on some people they be in a mood, as soon as they drink Starbucks, they be in another mood. Some people they be so lazy. I can't do it. They get Starbucks, come on, let's get done, man. Let's get it done. As soon as they finish the coffee, they get lazy again.
Allah mustaan. طيب نعم أيها الإخوة هكذا هم أئمة الإسلام
يختلفون في مسائل طالبين للحق. لاحظ هذا الشرط. يختلفون ليس للشهرة، ليس للإمامة والزعامة، ليس ليطيح بعضهم بعضا وينقد على مكانه، لا، يختلفون طالبين للحق. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Yes, this how was the A'imma of Islam. They used to differ among themselves, but all of them, they differed seeking the truth, the haqq. They don't differ because they want to knock out one another from some position and jump on it. No. They differ on everyone seeking the truth, the haqq. لكنهم يتمسكون بالنصوص ويرجعون إليها مع اجتماع قلوبهم واجتماعهم على الأصول وعدم اختلافهم في ذلك أبدا. This is another point that is very important. Yet they differ while holding firm to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. They turn, as soon as they have a difference, they turn to what? To the Quran and the Sunnah. That's what they turn to. And why is the one all this? Their hearts are still unified, still together. And they are together upon the foundations and the principles. They never ever differ when it comes to principles. They don't differ as right to the principles. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى عن الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى said about the companions رضوان الله عليهم كانوا يتناظرون في المسألة مناظرة مشاورة ومناصحة. When they used to debate or talk and have a conversation as pertaining to issue, they were doing it to seek advice from one another, to learn from one another. وربما اختلف قولهم في المسألة مع بقاء الألفة والعصمة وأخوة الدين. When they use the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم, when they used to get together and they talk about the deen, but sometimes they may differ as related to an issue, but they preserve the harmony. They don't fight and they go mad. He mad at him and thinking bad about him and warning against him. No. But they preserve the harmony and they preserve the brotherhood. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله نعم من خالف الكتاب المستبين والسنة المستفيضة أو ما أجمع عليه سلف الأمة خلافا لا يعذر فيه فهذا يعامل بما يعامل به أهل البدع. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى he said whoever go against the book of Allah that is clear and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is clear as well, or he go against that which Salaful Ummah, the Salaf of this Ummah, they agree and they have a consensus agreement about, but he differ in a field that he has no reason to differ about, this person he should be dealt the same way, dealt with the same way the people of innovation are dealt with. This is very dangerous. قال أما الاختلاف في الأحكام فأكثر من أن ينضبط. But then the Shaykh said, as for different as relates to certain rulings of fiqh, he said this is a huge window that is open right now. ولو كان كلما اختلف مسلمان في شيء تهاجرا لم يبق بين المسلمين عصمة ولا أخوة. He said, actually, as a matter of fact, whenever two Muslims they differ among themselves, they boycott one another and they split. He said there will be no brotherhood between two Muslims. ولقد كان أبو بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما سيد المسلمين يتنازعان في أشياء لا يقصدان إلا الخير. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. He said indeed أبو بكر and Umar radiallahu anhuma, the best of this Ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to differ among themselves, but the only thing that they seek behind that is what? Is the truth and the khair. They just want good. قال فينبغي على المسلمين إذا أرادوا تحقيق الاجتماع ويحافظوا على اجتماعهم أن يتمسكوا بمنهج سلفهم عند حصول الاختلاف ومعرفة كيفية التعامل عند وقوع الاختلاف فإن في ذلك دفعا لشر كثير وتحقيقا لخير كبير. Finally the Shaykh said, indeed, Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, حفظه الله تعالى, he said, indeed it is incumbent upon the Muslims, if they are really serious and sincere about unifying the Muslims and bring about unity, that they have to preserve the Jama'ah. They have to preserve the body of the Muslims by them holding firm to the minhaj and the methodology of the Salaf al-Saleh in every single thing, and especially when they have differences. Especially when they differ, they should turn it back. The cure is in this principle. They should know how to deal with this ikhtilaf. When it happens, don't let it soak and spread. As soon as it happens, they should deal with it as the companions dealt with their differences. He said, if they do this, and if they follow their way, that they're going to repel so many harms, and it's going to bring them so much, much good. So, طيب, inshallah ta'ala, this is another principle. I'm not going to offer and begin the other principle. We'll leave it for next talk, inshallah ta'ala. I'm scheduled to give another talk? No, that's it. No? Huh? Give you a bonus or something? No, no.
Questions and answers?
That's not a talk. They're just listening to the brother talking. They don't have to answer. Alright, that's it. Nothing in here. It's Saturday, that's it. No Sunday? Oh, okay, that one has that. That's it. Let's see. I still have, okay, Abdul Rahim, I still have another talk to finish this? Alhamdulillah, we will finish inshallah, because this is another benefit, this is very important principle that I mentioned, is it deals with the ulama. That we have to respect them. We have to listen to them and follow their advices. Of course, as long as they follow the minhaj of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. And before that, we need to know who they are. Because it's easy for us, like I told you, when we're sick, we go to the doctors. And we don't go to any doctors, we want to go to the best doctors. So inshallah, we leave that to the, inshallah, to the next lecture, inshallah, to finish it. We'll see if there is any lectures, any questions in here, or you want to call the adhan?
It's better if you finish
the lecture. هل يجوز للمرأة المحرمة أن تغير ملابس إحرامها وهي في الحج؟ نعم يجوز لها أن تغير وهي محرمة في الإحرام. هذا ليس من محظورات الإحرام، ليس من محظورات الإحرام تغيير الإحرام ملابس الإحرام، بل يجوز تغييرها بملابس أخرى، يجوز غسلها، ويجوز للمرأة المحرمة والرجل كذلك أن يغتسل، كل هذا، لكن ينبغي تفادي محظورات الإحرام. وأحيلكم على الكتيبات الإيضاح والتحقيق للعمرة والحج للشيخ ابن باز رحمه تعالى، وكذلك صفة الحج والعمرة للإمام ابن عثيمين، وكذلك الإمام الألباني له كتيب كذلك، والفوزان. وأنا رأيت الحمد لله، رأيت لما كنت أبحث على كتيب هذا الصباح، رأيت في المكتبة الصغيرة في كتيبات كهذا. The question was, is it permissible for a woman who is in ihram, on a state of ihram, to change her clothing? وأردت أن أنبه أن المرأة ليس لها ثياب خاصة بالإحرام، عباءتها وخمارها وملابسها العادية هي إحرامها، لكن لا تنتقب ولا تلبس القفازين. لا تنتقب ولا تلبس القفازين، وإذا كانت بحضرة رجال أجانب تغطي وجهها بخمارها. طيب، the question was, is permissible for the woman on the state of ihram in Hajj and also in Umrah to change the clothing? First of all, we have to say that the woman, they are not like the men when it comes to the clothing of ihram. With the men, we have to come out from the regular clothing and put an izar and rida'. Okay? But the women, they don't do that. The women, they stay normal. They wear their iba'ah and their khimar and the like. But they do not wear the niqab and the gloves. And if the women, they can cross men that are not mahram to them, they should cover their faces with their khimar. So therefore, it is permissible, yes, it is permissible, the ulama saying, and you can check this in the book of Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh ibn al-Taymin, Shaykh Fawzan, Shaykh ibn Baz, that relate to the Hajj, and they are available, alhamdulillah, they are translated in English, alhamdulillah. You can check, yes, the muhrim, whether it be a man or a woman, it is permissible for them to change the clothing of the ihram. It is permissible for them to wash them if it is needed. And it is permissible for them actually to take a shower while they are in a state of ihram. أنا أذكر الآن أنه من السنة إذا وصل المحرم سواء للعمرة أو للحج إلى مكة من السنة أن يغتسل قبل الطواف. من السنة أن يغتسل قبل أن يشرع في طواف، في الطواف، طواف القدوم، طواف العمرة أو طواف الحج أو غير ذلك على حسب نية المحرم. Actually, just remember that it is from the Sunnah that a person who gets to Mecca and before he makes the tawaf, if it's okay for him and if it's easy for that person to take actually ghusl, shower, to bathe. Okay? طيب. As you say, I cannot entertain a lot of questions. I have one hand. Where can I find the dalil for the statement religion is strictest unless the text allows it? And that everything in the dunya is permissible unless we find a text to disallow. يقول أين الدليل؟ لعل هذا عن كلام سمعته أخونا شديد قاله أن هذا أصل من الأصول أن في العبادات التوقيف، العبادات التوقيفية إلا ما كان عليه دليل، العبادات التوقيفية إلا ما كان عليه دليل، والعادات أصلها الإباحة إنما جاء دليل يحرمها أو كذا. So yes, this is a principle actually. This is a principle. This is a principle that when it comes to the ulama, they have this principle that when it comes to actions of worship, nothing is permissible. Nothing is permissible for you to do unless you have a dalil that this is the correct way to do it and this is how it's done. And as for the things that are permitted, the al-mubahat, the permissible things like drinking, sleeping, wearing clothes, looking for a job and the like, traveling and the like, things that are common for us and traditions for us to do, we are accustomed to do, everything is permissible. Unless there is a text that say it's not permissible. Like for example, food. Everything is permissible. Look at it with this permissible. You can eat anything you want. And you can drink anything you want. This is the asal. This is the principle. But if there is a text that say don't eat this, then you shouldn't eat it. You don't make everything haram when it comes to food and wait for the dalil to eat it. So now we got a problem. Somebody give you ananas. Somebody give you apple. So haram. Give me dalil. I think apple is okay. Kulu min al-tayyibat. Allahu Akbar. Kulu min al-tayyibat. Eat from. But that's just an example. It just turns us right. I shouldn't even say that. But remember, this is principle. The dalil, yes, there is adilla in the Quran, adilla in the Sunnah. But it needs some explanation to explain them, but this is a principle. Yes, this is a principle. When it comes to the acts of worship, you do not just worship Allah. Because this worship came, this thing came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Before you pray, you don't just get up and pray. No, you want to learn how to pray. Before that, you want to learn how to make the wudu. Let everybody pray whatever they want. No. But when it comes to the permissible things, everything is permissible, unless if there is a dalil that said it's haram, then you leave it alone, inshaAllah. Now. Alhamdulillah. هذا صلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وسلم وبارك الله فيكم.